Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at something today, and it's a little bit of a spin-off. This past week at teen camp, I was allowed to preach two times, and this is just kind of related to the theme of camp. The theme of camp this year was approved unto God. Approved unto God. And not only do we want our teenagers to be approved unto God, but we likewise need to be approved unto God. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And so if you're there in Philippians chapter 3, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able. Philippians and chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 7 and read through verse 11. And I would like you to join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses by myself, because I alone am odd and you all are all nice and even. So here we are in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. For if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. All right, here we are, Philippians chapter 3. Did you notice what Paul said about this thing of Christ? In verse 10, he says, that I may know him. That I may know him. In the teen meeting this week at camp, I told you the theme was approved unto God. Of course, it comes out of the word of God and telling us that we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know what? It says approved unto God. Not approved unto the pastor. Not approved unto the parent. Not approved unto our peers. Not approved unto anybody else. Not approved by the church. But rather approved unto whom? To God. And so, you know, through the week, the kids were taught about what it means to be approved by God in different areas and aspects of their lives. And listen, certainly, we do need that. And then God just kind of led my heart to this idea of knowing the inspector. Knowing the inspector. Who's the one that's got the stamp? Approved. 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 God does. God's the one that's the inspector. Those of you that perhaps spent time working in the service industry or in maybe a factory situation or manufacturing or something like that. Parts and things and even food at a restaurant goes through kind of an inspection process. You don't want to send something out that isn't right. Right? Because it'll come back. You want to make sure that things are approved by a certain criteria. Right? But there's someone that's in charge of approving these things. And God is the one that's the overseer. God is the one whose duty it is to examine the quality of things. He is the one that is the inspector. God wants us, as Paul said here, to know him. You need to know the inspector. Wouldn't it be foolish to not know what was expected and send it to the inspector and get your item rejected? Right? You say, well, if I would have only known what the inspector was looking for, if I would have only known the criteria of the inspector, this item could have been passed through without being returned for some sort of correction or because it was unsatisfactory. Hey, remember I told you our lives are not our own. They need to be approved unto God. God is the inspector of all things. And we need to know Him. Over in Psalm 19, we've read this many times in studying the wonderful Word of God. And I think that some of you are going to miss that tonight. Yeah. Because we're done with that series. You say, we are? Yeah. What's next? I'll let you know tonight. Now, Psalm 19, we've read this many times. It just says this, that the law of the Lord is perfect. When you think of something that comes through and is inspected, what is the expectation? That it's perfect, right? It meets the requirements. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What do you think of something that comes through the inspection process? That is what? It's sure, right? It's going to be able to handle things. It's going to be able to stand up against the different tests and things that are required of it. It's sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. They're right. Something that comes across the inspection table is going to be something that's correct, that's right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. You think of something that's inspected, it's going to be something that's pure, right? It's not going to be impure. There's not going to be impurities found in it. It's going to be pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. These are all things that describe things that are inspected. Things that meet the requirements, meet the muster, if you will. It's clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All these things describe something that would be approved unto God. Well, what are these things? These are the very things that God holds near and dear. His word, His commandments, His judgments, His testimonies, His statutes. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. So in other words, this thing of God's word, these laws and these statutes and these testimonies and these commandments and the fear of the Lord and the judgments of the Lord, all these things, they're going to help us be approved unto God. Because it's what God is and what God expects. He says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Are we perfect? No. Do we have errors? Do we have things that maybe the inspector kind of sees and says, well, you know, that's not quite right. Let's send it back for some correction here. Absolutely. David says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then he says, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So here we go. The inspector. We need to be acceptable in the sight of God. Not in my sight, not in your sight, not in the world's sight, not in our peers' sight, not even in this church's sight, but in the sight of the inspector, God Almighty. Let's learn something about the inspector today. First of all, the inspector is observant. Did you know that God is observant? You know what I tell my kids all the time? Pay attention. Be observant. Keep your eyes open. How many of you in raising children have watched your kids? And I do this and I try not to laugh, but because it really is painful, I'm sure. But they'll turn their body and their feet and go a direction, and their head is still going this way. And all of a sudden, You know, right into a wall or a table or a chair or another person. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, what do we say? Watch where you're going, yeah. And I try to tell my kids, turn your eyes first and then go. You know, come on now. Don't we need to be a little bit more observant in our lives? But think about this. God is all seeing. He's all knowing. Omni, right? All things. He knows what's going on. He's observant. What is important about an inspector? In a car manufacturer, in a warehouse, or in a assembly line, or you know, at a store, or a restaurant, or anything. What's important? That the inspector does what? Sees. I mean, how many of you would like a blind guy inspecting things for you? No. I mean, you need to see that it's right. Yes? You need to see what it is that you're looking at. How would you like the inspector to have an area, and they just kind of are looking everywhere else, and they're like, yeah, approved, 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 oh, this is a job, approved, approved, approved. Not even looking at anything. Just kind of passing it right by. Does that make sense to anybody? No, it doesn't make sense to anybody. God sees all. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's watching. God sees all. You say, well, he doesn't always do anything about it. No, he doesn't always, but he does see it all. God does see all. And he may, because of his long suffering, because of his loving kindness, he may have somewhat of an allowance of things, but can I tell you something? They all will be cared for in his time. We don't know when he's going to judge, but we do know he's going to judge. He is the righteous judge. We sing that song, right? About farther along. It seems like they're allowed, the wicked people are allowed to do things, and listen, their time will come. You say, when? Well, I don't know that. Only God does know what he's going to do, when he's going to do it. You say, well, but I've been able to tell a lie, and I got away with it. Yeah, but for how long? And it will be accounted for. Okay? He is the righteous judge. He is observant. The Bible tells us, all through the Old Testament, as the different kings of Judah and different kings of Israel came upon the scene, some, it said that they did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Some, it says that they did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And even some, they began life as king, doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And then later in their time as king, they did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. But the whole point is that God sees all. He's keeping a record of it. Do you know that we're going to be judged for our lives? We are. And some of what we have done and will do in our lives is going to be negatively judged. And some will be positively judged. For those of us that are saved at the judgment seat of Christ, our works are going to be tried by God. And those things that are burnt up will be counted as a loss for us. A loss. Now, how many of you in life, you enjoy loss? No. Everybody enjoys what? Gain. Not loss. God's watching. God's recording these things. In Psalm 34, it says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God sees us. God observes our lives. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. Hey, Hebrews chapter 4, you've heard this before, verse before, haven't you? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen to this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of whom? Eyes of him with whom we have to do. Did y'all know that verse was there? That's the verse after. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than it is. That's the verse we quote all the time, right? But we don't ever seem to quote the next verse. Isn't it so important? Hey, yeah, the word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. But we don't ever quote verse 13. How critical is verse 13? It's critical. That neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are observed by the inspector. Every creature. And he even goes on and says, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him. You know what a good inspector does? Sometimes he'll take something apart to see if it's been put together right. Dividing. Hey, listen, the Lord sees all. He knows your very thoughts. That's why David said in Psalm 19, he said, let the meditation of the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Meditations aren't voiced. They're on the inside. The thoughts and intents of the heart, they're within. They're not always spoken out. God sees all. He knows all. He knows what you're thinking right now. We need to understand that the inspector of our lives is observant. It says they're naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You say, well, I don't want to be inspected. I'm not going to be accountable to God. All are accountable to God. We don't have a choice. The saved are going to be held account to God at the judgment seat of Christ. The lost are going to be accountable to God at the great white throne judgment. And the books will be opened. And it won't be a pretty sight. You understand that God, the inspector, is observant of all things. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You say, Pastor, you already said that. Can I tell you something? You think God repeats himself because he doesn't have anything else to say? Do you think that God repeats himself because he forgot that he put it somewhere else in Scripture? As a father, do you know why I repeat myself? For emphasis. Because I really want you to remember it. As an educator, I teach teachers and I teach students that repetition is the key to learning. It is. God wants us to know that he sees all. Our inspector of our life, with whom we have to do, the one that we're accountable to, is observant. Let's look at something else. Not only is he observant, he's particular in his ways. He's particular in his ways. You know what's great about God? You know what's great about an inspector? They don't change. They don't say, oh, well, this one's good enough. This item, no, it's no good. Well, maybe this time I think I'll take it. No, it's either yes or no. Yes or no. Yes or no. And it's that way today, and it's that way tomorrow, and it's that way next week, and it's that way next year, and it's that way 10 years from now, and it's that way 100. I mean, it doesn't change. You know what society is fussing about? Oh, you old Baptists, you old King James Bible lovers, you're not up with society today. Don't you know things have changed? God hasn't changed. I am the Lord. I change not. Jesus Christ, the same. Yeah. This book doesn't change. And if it does, throw it out. Because it's not what God has preserved. It's not what God has given. It's not God's word. You know what I do? I serve an unchangeable God. If he was changeable, I wouldn't serve him. You say, why? How can you trust that? How can you trust that? How can you trust something that you don't know is never going to change? It's just not going to. Hey, this inspector, everything that comes across, he's going to be just. You know what meaning just is? You don't change because of how you feel. Maybe the inspector's having a good day, so he just kind of passes everything by. And then he's having a bad day, so he's like super picky today. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? Aren't you glad that he's just not going to change his ways? He's going to be the same all the time. In Psalm 18:30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. God's not going to change. He has a method. He has a way about things. And he's going to stay true to his way. We studied in Psalm 119. David said, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. This is God's manual. This is God's checklist. This is what God uses, and he takes the blueprint of his word and he matches it up with our lives as they come across his desk. And they said, yep, it matches, or nope, it doesn't match. His ways are particular. God does care how we live our lives. God does care what we think about. God does care the things we decide to do and we decide not to do. He's particular. Did you notice that God has a way? It's his path. It's his way. It's his purpose. As God was dealing with his people in the Old Testament, he looked at the heart of man, not at the outward appearance. What was Saul? Head and shoulders above all the rest. Right? He should have been a great king for Israel, should he not?
But what happened? His heart wasn't right with God. He started well. But then he changed. God didn't change. You know what God did? God rejected him. And then as God incorporated choosing a new king, told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse, right? All these were lined up in front of him. He came to Eliab, the firstborn, and he said this, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." He's particular. He's particular about it. And God is going to judge us. God is going to look at us. He's going to try the hearts and reins of his people. He's going to divide that us and look into it. And everything's going to be opened and naked there, just out there, so he can see it. And he's going to judge it according to his design, not what we think. God is particular in the way he does things. And guess what? He gets to do that. You know why? Because he's God. And we're not. Do you know that you and I don't have a say-so in how God decides what's good and what's not? You say, well, that's good enough for me. Well, I don't really care if it's good enough for you. And I really don't care if it's good enough for me. But it's good enough for God. You know, I've told you over and over again what Dr. Smith always told us. He said, your best is good enough for God no matter how poor it is. But less than your best is never good enough for God no matter how good it is. You see, we get in this thing of trying to compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, or, our church folks, they're better than that church, or, wait a minute, wait. Whose criteria are you trying to meet? Not our own, but his. He's particular in the way he does things. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. While you turn there, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. See, God's not a respecter of persons. He's judging by a standard. And he's particular in his ways. Are you there in 1 John? Look at chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, this inspector, he's observant, and he's particular in his ways. And then thirdly and finally today, this inspector knows what he wants. He knows what he wants. He knows what he's looking for. He's not confused about it. He's not in a quandary. Oh, well, maybe this is good, maybe this is not good. No, he knows exactly what it is. You know what a good inspector does? He can pick up an item and he can feel that it's right. He can see that it's right. He knows what it's supposed to look like. He knows the parameters. He knows what's supposed to be inside of it. He knows what's supposed to be outside of it. He knows exactly what he's looking for. He knows exactly what he wants. And can I say something to you, brothers and sisters in Christ today? He knows exactly what he wants out of your life. He knows exactly what he created and designed you to be. He knows exactly what your talents and abilities are for. He knows exactly what he wants you to do with the life that he has given you to live. God knows exactly what He wants for you. He knows. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know? Do you know? Hey, when I went to Bible college, I was called to preach. I went to Bible college. I thought that because of my maturity, because of being in the United States Navy, having a little bit of character and a little bit of life lived on my own, that maybe God would have me be a pastor right away because I was more mature than these 17 and 18 year olds coming into Bible college. And I thought after graduating Bible college that God would go have me be a pastor of a church and lead that church into glory and greatness for God. Because of my maturity and my abilities that I had. You know what God did? He made me a Christian school principal. I don't know of a lower position in the army of the Lord than a Christian school principal. I don't know what it is about Christian school principals and the staff of a church, but forgive me, all of you redheaded people, but I was the redheaded stepchild of the staff because I was the Christian school principal. We're lower than the bottom. I think we're under the bottom of the food chain. But I was a Christian school principal for 16 and a half years. You know what? God knew what I needed. God knew what He designed me for. God knew the path that I was to take. I had no idea what path I was supposed to take. I had no idea what God wanted me to be. Do you? But yet we think we know. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to meet these specifications. I'm going to meet these requirements No, He knows what He wants out of your life. Why? He's the inspector. He knows what you're supposed to do. He knows what you're supposed to be. He knows what you're for because He made you. He formed you. He created you. He gave you the talents and abilities that you have. They're not of your own, folks. And they're not of your doing. They're of His doing. We quote oftentimes Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. We know that for by grace are ye saved through faith and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's exactly right. But we often do not quote verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Hey, we're a new creature in Christ, are we not? How do you know what you're supposed to be? Unless you just follow the design of God for your life. All along, I've been willing, since I surrendered to preach, I've been willing to go where God has sent me, to do what God has wanted me to do, to follow His principles and His guidelines in my life. You know what? I think He's done a good job. Because I've never been without. God has provided in my life. God has led us and directed us in the way we're supposed to go. And I just want to be approved unto God. In everything that I do, in all that I am in my life. What a way to live. It's a great life to live. Because who else can we trust? Can we trust ourselves better than God? Do we know better than God? No, He's observant. He's particular. And He knows exactly what He wants out of our lives. Will you trust the inspector? Will you be like Paul said, that I may know Him? And the fellowship, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I'm going to count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. We need to know the inspector. That He's observant. That He's particular in His ways. And that He knows exactly what He's looking for in our lives.